David Grimm joins us once again to talk about the latest science news from Science Now. Hi, David.
Good to be back, Rob.
So what other stories do you have for us today?
Well, Rob, we're going to talk about why a man in motion appears to be coming towards you, even if he's moving away. What a crowded bus can tell us about kids' ability to learn math. And finally, how water bears survive a trip to open space.
Well, let's start with the perception of why a man appears to be walking towards you, even if he's walking away.
Well, Rob, this story has to do with the type of information we convey just by walking around. Researchers already know that if, say, you're walking with slumped shoulders or a labored gait, that you might be unhappy. So the way we walk conveys something about our emotional state. But does the way we walk send any other types of signals? And to do this experiment, the researchers use this kind of neat technology called a point light figure. And that is, they use various dots of light to represent the human figure. You know, one dot is the head, and there's a few dots for the arms, and the dots are sort of around joints. And so if you look at these dotted figures, and you know, maybe there's around 10 or 15 dots that represent the whole human body, the dots, you know, move the way a human moves. And by manipulating the dots, researchers can create a male or a female form. They create the male form by broadening the shoulders or the dots on the shoulders, the space between the dots on the shoulders, or they can try to replicate the female form by narrowing the dots around the waist.
So they had people watch these dots and decide, hey, that figure's coming towards me, or that figure's moving away?
Right. Well, the researchers had 5 volunteers watch these dots. They created very masculine forms with the dots and very feminine forms with the dots, and even sort of a gender-neutral form. And they asked the subjects just to sort of share their interpretations of how these dot people were moving. And the really interesting finding is that when the subjects were shown these male figures, they tended to say that the figure was moving towards them, even if the figure wasn't moving towards them. And just the opposite with the female figures, regardless of which way the researchers had the female figure moving, if they had it moving towards the observer or away from the observer, the volunteers tended to say, that figure seems to be moving away from me. And you can see some cool videos of this on the site.
Do the researchers have any idea really why that perception difference occurs?
Well, one speculation is it has an evolutionary origin. The approach of a male figure could signal danger. So if people always think that a figure is moving towards them and it's a male figure, maybe they might be more protective.
And with females, you have to pursue them? Is that it?
That's the idea. Especially for kids, the idea is that if kids are looking at a female figure and they always feel like the female figure is moving away, then their kids are more likely to stick with their mother because they want to stay with their mother. But this is all really speculation at this point. Right now, it's just kind of a neat finding.
So lots of other possible interpretations.
Exactly.
Well, from judging whether a person is walking towards you or away from you to judging the numbers of people on a bus, what could that possibly say about how well a kid's going to do in math?
Well, the bus example is if you or I were to look at a crowded bus and somebody were to ask us, are there more people in the front or the back? Our brains would make this very quick calculation to help us determine that. And this has to do with a mental sense in our brain that's called the approximate number system. And it's a complicated term, but really all it means is, can you judge the relative numbers? Can you tell at a quick glance if there's more people in the front of the bus or the back of the bus? And researchers wanted to know, does this simple ability correlate with the ability to learn math? Because in a sense, you're dealing with numbers in both instances. And what they did is they had a group of 14-year-old kids look at a bunch of dots that were flashed on a screen. There were blue dots and yellow dots flashed in various ratios. And the first interesting thing the researchers noticed was that there was a really wide variation in how well kids did at this test. Some kids could easily tell which dots were more prevalent, but other kids had a lot more trouble, even at ratios as, you know, seemingly obvious as 2 to 3, they had trouble telling which dots were more prevalent. So that was the first interesting finding. But the even more interesting finding was when researchers correlated these results to how well these kids did on math tests, say tests that standardized tests that tested, you know, say third grade math ability, there was a good correlation between how well the kids did on this dot test to how well they were at solving math problems.
Did that relationship hold when controlling for other factors like IQ or things like that?
Right. Even when the researchers controlled for IQ and other factors, like even like short-term memory, the relationship still held.
Well, that doesn't prove that this approximate number system ability...
Well, you're right. It just shows a correlation. So it's possible that things may work the other way around. Maybe because kids are good at math, that they have this good approximate number system skill. But the upshot here is that some experts speculate that if we could work on improving our approximate number system, that maybe we can improve our math ability. And especially if you're talking about math education, if there's a way to work on kids' approximate number system, then there may be a way to help them do better in math class.
Well, from having a knack for numbers to having a knack for surviving the conditions in outer space, what are water bears and how do they do that?
Well, water bears are these pinhead-sized animals. It's actually a phylum known as tardigrades. And this encompasses more than 1,000 species of these creatures. And you can see a neat picture of one of them on the site. And they actually kind of do look like little bears, except for with more legs. But what's really interesting about these creatures is that they're known for being extremely hardy. They've been found in rocks 6,000 meters high in the Himalayas and in deep ocean trenches 4,000 meters deep, even vacuum conditions for short periods of time, and survive just fine. So a group of researchers said, hey, let's launch these guys out into space and see how they do.
Because there are harmful conditions other than just a vacuum, right? The UV radiation.
Exactly. Open space is even harsher than the conditions found on Earth. And researchers want to know just how hardy are these water bears? So what they did is they put them on a crewless Russian spacecraft operated by the European Space Agency. And before they put them on the craft, they divided them into four groups. And when the craft reached Earth's orbit, it opened these doors that exposed the water bears to various conditions. Some of them were just exposed to the vacuum of space. Others were exposed to ultraviolet A, ultraviolet B, or ultraviolet C radiation, or various combinations of those. And they were exposed to these conditions for 10 days. And there was also a control group left back on Earth. And what the researchers found was that these guys really are very hardy, even in open space. The water bears that were exposed to the vacuum dried out. But when they returned to Earth, the researchers rehydrated them with water, and they did just fine. The water bears that were exposed to radiation had more of a mixed record. Those exposed just to UVA or UVB radiation only had about a 10 to 15% survival rate. And those exposed to all types of radiation all died. But even before these guys died, they were able to sire healthy offspring.
So they were able to come back, be rehydrated, have sex, and then they died.
And then they died. But their offspring were completely normal.
What accounts for that survivability? Have researchers figured that out?
Well, that's still an open question. Some researchers speculate that these water bears have an extremely rapid DNA repair mechanism. UV radiation is so lethal because it destroys DNA. And so it's possible that these water bears have a way to fix their DNA really quickly so that they're not suffering the harmful effects of radiation. But it's going to take more work to figure out just why these water bears are as hardy as they are.
Once that happens, do researchers hope to be able to apply that knowledge to other species?
Yeah, they do, especially humans, because, you know, as we put humans on these longer and longer space missions, they're exposed to radiation and other factors in space. And if we can figure out how a creature as tiny as the water bear can survive these conditions, we might be able to apply some of those findings to humans.
Okay, well, thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Rob.
So what other stories are you looking into for Science Now?
Well, Rob, we're looking into new advances in high-temperature superconductivity, why some dogs are hairless, and finally, how flies feel peer pressure. So be sure to check out the site.
David Grimm is the editor of Science Now, the free online daily news site of science. You can catch up on the latest science news at sciencenow.sciencemag.org.